Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today is Jeremiah chapter 28, our Old Testament lesson, beginning at the first verse. And dear brothers and sisters in the faith, have you ever just needed a break? We all have. Psalm writer did for today. What did he say? First verse, verse 153, Psalm 119. Lord, look on my affliction and deliver me. I need a break. I need a break. Sometimes you got to have a break. You got to have a break from all of the commotion and all of the noise and all of the wrangling and all of the competing and all of the pushing and all of the shoving. And we have different ways, each of us, of getting a break. For some of us, we might like to go out hunting, or maybe fishing, or maybe just going out in the woods and listening to the wind blow through the pine trees. For others of us, it may be looking for antiques, or a trip to the mall, or for others still, it might be curling up with a good book, or watching one of those old black and white movies when it seemed like things were simpler back then, although they certainly weren't. We know that. But anyway, we all need a break at one time or another. And it's not just people that need a break. The Bible tells us that God's land needed a break. The Lord's land needed a break. The Lord had given to his people the promised land, you know about that. But like bad renters, they trashed the place. They had trashed the Lord's land. Book of 1 Kings, chapter 14. For they also built for themselves high places and pillars and Asherim, that's a statue for the mother goddess, on every high hill and under every green tree. There were also male cult prostitutes in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the land that the Lord drove out of the nations that came before them. Book of Jeremiah chapter 2, the Lord says, I brought you into a plentiful land to enjoy its fruits and its good things. That's what I wanted for you. But when you came in, you defiled my land, and you made my heritage an abomination. The priest did not say, where is the Lord? Those who handled the law didn't know me. The rulers transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and went after things that do not profit. And so, 2 Chronicles chapter 36. The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent persistently to them by his messengers, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place, even though they were trashing it. But they kept mocking the messengers of God. They kept despising his words. They kept scoffing at his prophets until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people and there was no remedy. Therefore, this is a background for our lesson. Therefore, the Lord brought up against them the king of the Chaldeans, who killed their young men with a sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion on young man or virgin, old man or aged. He gave them all into his hand, and all the vessels of the house of the Lord, great and small, and the treasuries of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his princes, all of these he brought back to Babylon. And they burned the house of God, they broke down the wall of Jerusalem, they burned all its palaces with fire. They destroyed all its precious vessels, and he took into exile in Babylon those who had escaped from the sword, and they became servants to him and to his sons until the establishment of the king of Persia, a kingdom of Persia. And finally, to fulfill the word of the Lord, all of this happened by through the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed its Sabbaths. All the days that it lay desolate, it kept Sabbath, of course, which means rest, to fulfill 70 years. The land needed a break. and need a break from getting trashed by those who were supposed to be the people of God. And so God gave it 70 years, 70 years rest from all the unbelief and all the chaos. And the Lord, like bad renters, evicted his people. He gave the land rest for 70 years, and so then he promised the same through the prophet Jeremiah. It'll be 70 years before anybody gets to go back home. 70 years in exile, 70 years away from the promised land. Now you tell me, who liked that message? Who wanted to hear that sermon? 70 years? 70 years, who's going to be left? We'll all be gone by that time. We'll all be dead by that time. And the Lord said, yes, you will. But the land is going to catch a break. It is going to be swept and washed clean. Thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord. But we're not done yet. Because then the prophet Hananiah stood up. The prophet, a man from the town of Gibeon, and he said basically, what are you talking about? What is this about 70 years? God loves you. God loves his people. And so I'll be honest with you, 70 years, no, it's going to be 2 years at most. 2 years at most, and all the temple furnishings will be brought back. The royal family will all return back home. All the priests and prophets sent into exile will be brought back. Everything will be returned as it was before. So be happy. Be at peace. All will be well. And as the prophet Hananiah spoke, you can see that smiles began to appear on every face in the temple. People began to clap. People began to cheer. Letters were sent to the exiles off in the land of Babylon that they're going to be coming home soon because the prophet of God said that's the way it is. And as Hananiah steps down after his sermon, everybody pats him on the back and says, good job, good job. Everybody pats him on the back. Because that's what a false prophet is there for. That is what a false prophet lives for. He lives for the praise of man, not of God. That's the food they eat, the water they drink, the air that they breathe. And so it is also true that false prophets have to have false believers to listen to them. Book of Isaiah chapter 30. The people said to God's prophets, Isaiah 30, speak to us smooth messages. Prophesy to us illusions. Turn away from the right way. Turn aside from the path. We don't want to hear anymore about the God of Israel. Let us hear no more. What we want to hear is that everything will be put back in place just the way that it was before. But that was the whole problem, wasn't it? Because the way it was before wasn't the way that God had said. I mean, think about it for a moment. What is it that you do? What is your practice? For instance, this spring, did you sweep out the garage? Clean out the garage? Maybe. Why? Because there's all this stuff that collects over the winter. You sweep out the garage or blow it out with a dust buster, whatever. And what did you do with all the dirt that you swept out? What did you do with it? Did you put it in a bag and say, you know what, I'm going to keep this for later on because in the middle of summer, maybe July 4th, I'm going to throw it all back in the garage. We're going to put things back the way they were before. Do you drive your car and a part breaks on it? It's old and it breaks, doesn't work anymore, and you get it replaced, but then you keep the old one in your garage just in case you might need it. Do you go to the hospital because you got a pain in your side and the doctor says we got to take your appendix out and they take the appendix out and after the surgery you say, Doc, could you save that for me? I want to reattach that later on. I want things to be the way that they were before. It doesn't work. It's not the way. Jeremiah chapter 6. These prophets have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there's no peace. You can't put a Band-Aid on sin, basically. You can't pat sin on the head. Jeremiah said, the true prophet of God, you know, folks, it's going to be 70 years. Yeah, but we're not going to be alive then. I know, but it's still going to be 70 years. The land has to have its rest. But those 70 years can be well spent. They can be well spent, not easily spent, not pleasantly spent, but they can be well spent if even a few of God's people stop and consider and look at their actions and look at their ways and look at their hopes and look at their plans, and they say, like the tax collector in Jesus' parable, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Or like the thief on the cross who said what? You know the words. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Or like the hymn writer. You may know the words. The famous hymn writer, Isaac Watts, hymn 707. Oh, that the Lord would guide my ways to keep his statutes still. Oh, that my God would grant me grace to know and do his will. Order my footsteps, Lord, by thy word, and make my heart sincere. Let sin have no dominion, Lord, but keep my conscience clear. Assist my soul, too apt to stray, a stricter watch to keep. And should I e'er forget thy way, restore thy wandering sheep. 70 years, that was a long sentence. For most folks, it was a life sentence. But it was also a sentence that gave life, because it kept alive in the people of God the knowledge of their sin. And it also kept alive in the people of God the knowledge of their Savior, the Lord God, their Savior Jesus. And it taught them to rely upon the grace of God alone. Because if you turn to the very next chapter of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 29, this is what you'll hear. It's, for thus says the Lord, these are the words of the Lord, when 70 years are completed for your exile in Babylon, I will visit you. And I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and to give you a hope. And then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me, and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. And so us too. You know the plans the Lord has for you. You know what they are. You know what they are every time you look at the cross and see what Jesus did for you to wash away your sin. You know the plans of the Lord every time you come to the Lord's table and receive the body and blood of Christ given and shed for your forgiveness. You know the plans of the Lord every time you think about your baptism, how he put his name on you and said, you belong to me. You know the plans of the Lord every time you look at the empty tomb and you realize that it wasn't just Jesus, but one day yours also will be empty. You know the plans the Lord has for you. Plans for welfare, not for evil. Plans to give you a future. Plans to give you hope. Plans to give you a break. And a break not just for the moment or for a day or for a vacation, but into all eternity. And so it is, the Lord says, the day will come when you come to the promised land and you will have your rest. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior.